Good morning, St. James. It's my pleasure to bring you the Bible reading this morning. We have two readings this morning, both taken from the letter to the Philippians. Our first reading is Philippians chapter 1, verses 1 to 8, and then chapter 4, verses 10 to 20. If you're following along with in the Church Bible, you'll find that on page 1178. But it'll also appear on the screen above me. So Philippians 1, verses 1 to 8. Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all God's holy people in Christ Jesus at Philippi, together with the overseers and deacons, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. It is right for me to feel this way about all of you, since I have you in my heart, and whether I'm in chains or defending and confirming the gospel, all of you sharing God's grace with me. God can testify how I long for all of you with the affection of Christ Jesus. Okay. Move over a couple of pages to 1181, chapter 4, beginning at verse 10. I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. I'm not saying this because I am in need, for I've learned to be content, whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I've learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all this through him who gives me strength. Yet it was good of you to share in my troubles. Moreover, as you Philippians know, in the early days of your acquaintance with the gospel, when I set out from Macedonia, not one church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving, except you only. For even when I was in Thessalonica, you sent me aid more than once when I was in need. Not that I desire your gifts. What I desire is that more be credited to your account. I have received full payment and have more than enough. I am amply supplied now that I have received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent. They are a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice, pleasing to God. And my God will meet all your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus. To our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thanks, Richard. Morning, everyone. It's good to see you in church this morning. And I echo Phil's words in saying welcome, in particular if you're new or newish, still settling in at St. James. We're glad you're here. My name's Alan. I'm the senior minister here at St. James. And I've been away for 3 weeks now. And so this is my first Sunday back. It's good to be back. Before we start, let me lead us in prayer that God would meet us. Lord, may your word live in us and bear much fruit to your glory. Amen. As our regulars will know, we're in the process of finalising a 10-year vision statement for St. James, the sort of church we want to be, the sort of trajectory in which we want to move. And we've been using the image of overflow. And part of the language in the vision speaks about the overflow of God's purposes beyond St. James into the inner west and beyond. And with that in mind, we're spending 2 weeks focusing on our partnership in mission, and in particular mission in all the world, mission beyond St. James in our ministry programs. And last week, Kaz spoke about partnering in mission through prayer. And this week, I'm going to speak about partnering in mission through financial generosity. And I'm going to make 3 points as we go through this morning. Firstly, partnership. Secondly, rejoicing. And thirdly, overflow. Partnership, rejoicing, and overflow. Well, I hope that as you came in, either this week or last, you received this booklet, which contains pictures and profiles of all our St. James ministry partners. I was observing earlier, we must have the most photogenic ministry partners on earth. These photos are incredibly high quality. But I invite you to reflect, what is the nature of your relationship with these people? As a regular St. James person, what's the nature of your relationship with them? What would be the best word to use? We're looking at the letter to the Philippians. This was a letter written by a missionary to a supporter church, in much the same way as our ministry partners send us email updates every month and tell us what's going on with their lives and try to encourage us. So Paul, this church in Philippi in the region of Macedonia had been planted by him years earlier, and they had been faithful supporters of his work ever since. At this point, when he's writing this letter, he's actually in jail. But the particular trigger for writing this letter is that he's just received a long-delayed financial payment from the Philippian church. And in fact, it was hand-delivered by a church member. It's a lovely idea. I imagine we were to send Phil Muggeridge to Albania to Josh and Ali Reeve and say, look, go to them in person and take this financial support from us. And so Paul is very encouraged. He says in chapter 4, verse 18 there, I have received full payment and I have more than enough. I am amply supplied now that I have received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent. They are a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice, pleasing to God. But my real question is this: how did Paul understand his relationship with the Philippian church? And by extension, what is the relationship between us and our various people in this booklet? What's the relationship between us and Nathan and Marky Clapham and Josh and Ali Reeve and Steve and Karen and all the others? Well, look at the language he uses. This is back to chapter 1, verse 3. He says, I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. He used the word partnership. Sometimes you'll see this translated fellowship, but partnership, I think, is a better word for what he has in mind. He's not just saying, you're Christians, I'm a Christian, therefore partnership in the gospel. He's speaking quite specifically about this relationship of mutual involvement, them as participants and stakeholders in his work, them as upholding and engaging in prayer for what he's doing, them as supporting him financially. Partners in that sense, the Australian New Testament expert Peter O'Brien suggests cooperation in the gospel as maybe a good way of translating this. I pray with joy because of your cooperation in the gospel. And you see the same idea a few verses later at verse 7. He says, it is right for me to feel this way about all of you since I have you in my heart. For whether I'm in chains or defending and confirming the gospel, all of you share, it's the same word that he used before, all of you partner in God's grace with me. And I find this so helpful. We need to see this. When these people in our booklet, when they go out from us, they do so as partners. They're our partners and we are their partners. And that's what we're expressing when we pray for them, the reality of our partnership. That's what we're expressing when we support them financially, the reality of our partnership. And the language, I think, is important. Our money goes to all sorts of things in the course of a given week, month, year, and depending on how we use our money, it establishes different sorts of relationships. When you pay in a cafe, you are a customer. When you pay Spotify, you're a subscriber. When you give money to flood relief, you're a donor. But with these people, you are a partner. A partner. We're not just donors. We are partners with these people. And our financial support is an expression of that partnership. It's one of the reasons that I really like the language we use at St. James, that we talk about them as our ministry partners, not simply as those who we support, or even the older kind of term, not simply as link missionaries, which is no doubt true, But it's not just that they are Linker missionaries, we are partners with them in the work. I mean, the language police aren't going to swoop on you if you say Link missionaries, I said. It's relational. When we send them money, we don't just say, oh, you know, the Reeves have a rental budget they're struggling to meet, so we'd better shovel some money their way or something like that. When we send these people money, we aren't just paying another bill, meeting another financial obligation that we committed to or something like that. You are enacting your identity with them as a partner in the work. Now, let me give you a quick explainer of how this works at St. James, because people sometimes have a misunderstanding about that. Almost all the financial support that each of these people receives comes from individuals. I'll say that again. Almost all the financial support they receive comes from individuals rather than from our overall church budget. Here's what we do as a church. Parish Council has a policy. It's had this for many years. I think we have a slide about this. That for every $10 that we budget to receive in offertory, we will allocate a dollar to our ministry partners. For every $10 we budget to receive in offertory, we allocate a dollar to our ministry partners. So for this year, in 2022, that means that our church budget has allocated $82,000 to the various people in this booklet. $82,000. Now, by God's thrilling goodness, we have a lot of ministry partners. We have a whole booklet's worth. And so each of them receives about $6,300. That's not because the system's broken and there are too many of them. But without knowing the specific numbers, you think, okay, $6,300, that is not going to be enough to support Nathan and Marky Clapham and their two teenage sons in Japan for a year. And it was never meant to. The idea was not that through our St. James budget and our electronic giving and so forth, that we would entirely bankroll their ministry. I mean, I think it's important that our church budget reflects our commitment to overflow beyond St. James into mission elsewhere. But we were never intended to supply all their costs. You do that. Individuals do that. That's how it works. And so, to echo what Kaz said last year, if you haven't done this, I encourage you, as you leaf through the booklet, to pick one or a few that particularly resonate with you. That might be at a personal level. You might say, oh, look, you know, I'm in a Bible study with Jen and Bass, so I'll support them when they go out into their ministry work. Or you might say, I have a particular heart for the land of Japan, so I'll support the Claphams. Whatever your rationale is, but it's not just about I come to St. James, therefore you take the next step. There are QR codes, as was pointed out in last week, and if you follow the QR code, it will take you to the individual supporter page. You can sign up to receive their regular emails. You get a far more detailed understanding of how they're going than we're able to cover in our regular prayer in church. And you're able to correspond with them and commit to financial support. Partners, that's who we are. But my second point is rejoicing. See, what does it feel like to be a ministry partner, to be out there, sent out by St. James, and for your part, to suddenly find yourself with a particular financial need? It could just be your regular rental bills in the country you live. It could be a particular adverse event. Your car blows up. What does it feel like to be in that position and then for your partners to step in and meet that need? Well, here's what Paul says, as I say, when he writes Philippians. A partner has just arrived with the money from the Philippians. He says, I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you had been concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. This is chapter 4, verse 11. I'm not saying this because I'm in need, for I've learned to be content whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all this through him who gives me strength. Yet, he goes on, it was good of you to share in my troubles. And that word share is again the word partner. And what he says is very important. He says this makes him rejoice, not because he frets about his circumstances. He says he's learned to be content. He trusts God to meet his needs. But this is something else. It's such a powerful expression of love and sharing in his difficulties and partnership when he receives this financial aid. It makes him rejoice. And we're now going to watch a short video from our ministry partners about how they feel about financial partnership. Let's have a look to the screen.
Hello, we're Steve and Karen.
Hi, I'm Beth.
And I'm Jen.
Hi, I'm Matt.
And I'm Elisa.
Hello, my name is Michael.
I'm Luke.
And I'm Tonya.
We are incredibly humbled to have been in faith-supported work for over 30 years. It is incredible to think of the generosity of God's people in partnering with us in the work that we do. It is a team effort. At the moment, together with our financial supporters, we are in Central Asia seeking to reach more people with the truth of Jesus.
When we knew we needed to move, we were faced with losing a lot of money from resident visa fees, having to break our apartment lease, sell our household goods, etc. One person wrote and asked how much it would cost in total to relocate. It cost several thousand dollars, but they were happy to underwrite that cost. Before we left, we'd also been given some money to buy a car. And when we arrived in our new location, we discovered that public transport is very limited. So our settling in has been greatly helped by being able to buy a car straight away.
We're quite early on in our support raising journey. We're still raising the prayer and financial support that we'll need to go overseas, and it's something that I never wanted to do, but it's been a really humbling and encouraging experience raising support. We've seen God provide, and it's really changed the way that we think about our possessions here and now and going forward, seeing them as ultimately everything belongs to God and comes from God.
A good friend and mentor said to us that we need four partner churches, and we thought this was a near impossible feat, but in unexpected ways we have reached those four partner churches, and that's just one of the ways that God has been raising support for us, and it's really affirming of this calling to go overseas and to work in the thing that God is calling us to do.
As we go on this journey, we pray that through partnering with you and sharing it together, it would be a source of encouragement in a way that God's growing our whole church family.
As missionaries, we usually have to work out our budget for the coming 3 years every time we come on furlough. This year, because of the COVID situation, we had to suddenly swap our kids' schooling plan, and they had to be enrolled at two schools at the same time. And at the same time, both of our cars failed and had major expenses. And so we're really grateful that we can share that burden with our partners and reach out and just let people know what our needs are, and then be blessed by seeing those things covered and support come in to take that pressure off.
One of the real joys of the work that we're planning to do is the capacity that we have to work in a team with our supporting partners back here in Australia and other places. And that's really exciting to know that there are so many people who are supporting the work that we do. But it's also really challenging. It can be really difficult to ask people if they will financially support us. So for me personally, one of the greatest encouragements that's happened is people that we don't know particularly well who sign up to be part of our financial support team and also our prayer support team. And that's just really encouraging that there are people out there who want to support the work that we believe God is calling us to do.
I've definitely felt God's provision through the giving of those who partner with me. Like many places in the world, rental prices in the city where I live have been going up recently. And so God's provision for me has meant that I've been able to find a nice place to live that's also close to my team, and also super, super close to church. I've been able to host people from church, particularly newcomers, And that's just been really valuable for helping people to feel welcome and helping people to feel a sense of community. Another way in which I've felt God's provision has been through my ability to give to my church here. Again, due to the inflation issues, costs have been going up while people's ability to give has remained the same. And so, yeah, God's generosity through my partners has just meant I've been able to serve him, and I've been super amazed to see how he's been working.
It's just lovely to hear our partners rejoicing in the encouragement of our financial partnership with them. Well, I've spoken about partnership, I've spoken about rejoicing. My third point is overflow. There's a lovely passage, not in Philippians, but in the letter of 2 Corinthians, where we overhear Paul talking to a different church about the Philippians and about the sort of partners that they've been. Here's what he says, 2 Corinthians chapter 8, beginning at verse 1. He says, "And now, brothers and sisters, we want you to know about the grace that God has given the Macedonian churches," by which he means the Philippians and some others. "In the midst of a very severe trial, their overflowing joy and their extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity. For I testify that they gave as much as they were able and even beyond their ability. Entirely on their own, they urgently pleaded with us for the privilege of sharing in this service." Sharing is that partnering word again. "Sharing in this service to the Lord's people." I love this. He's so exhilarated by the Philippians as partners that he brags about them to another church. And the reason he says that they are so generous is not because of their bank balance. They don't say, "Sure, Paul, we'll send you some money because we can afford it." The reason they are generous is because they have been transformed by the gospel. And in particular, what they have seen in the gospel of Jesus' death for them is the ultimate act of overflowing generosity. That Jesus would give all his very life for their salvation. And to be gripped by that and to entrust yourself to Jesus is to be transformed into someone who is similarly overflowing. So he says a couple of verses later, chapter 8, verse 9, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you through his poverty might become rich." He expresses the gospel in those richness and poverty and generosity terms to say it plugs straight into your approach to money and financial generosity. And you know, I love the idea that we at St. James would be such outstanding partners to these people that they might be boasting about us, you know, out there. They say, "Oh, look, what can I tell you about my partners back at St. James? They, you know, they've got my back. They're praying for me. They share my concerns for how my kids are going or the political situation." I love that idea. Well, let me finish with an application point, indeed an opportunity. In this case, this is about Madagascar. Madagascar, as you may know, because I always say this, is one of the poorest countries on earth. And the fact is, of course, most Madagascans know as little about Australia as most Australians know about Madagascar. It's a pretty obscure link. And yet, within the Anglican Church in Madagascar, and in particular, our friend Berthier and his students at St. Patrick's Bible College, they know not only about Australia, they know about Croydon. They know about St. James. They know us and that we are gathering for church this morning. And the reason they know this is because of our partnership. The reason they know this is because their students can sit down at the handful of computers that they have and log in to theological resources in French from all over the world to do assignments and research. They can do that because of our partnership. We met a need they shared with us about 18 months ago. Now, I have to tell you, unlike most of the individuals in here, our support, our financial support for Madagascar does not come out of our church budget. We do that more by occasional appeals. We do, however, pray for them regularly. And God has answered our prayers. They have gone from this little Bible college way down in the south has gone from quite literally a handful of students to 17 students in the last academic year. Their new academic year is starting now, October. They have 50 students and a waiting list. They decided they had to cap the numbers. And as you may know, the great need of the Lord's people in Madagascar is for trained pastors and leaders. Now, they have asked us to help resource them. And here's a short video from Berthier, the principal of the college. Let's have a look.
Greetings from St. Patrick's Theological College in Toliara, Madagascar. Last year, we received these computers from St. James Croydon through Anglican Aid. We want to thank you for having provided these computers. We received these computers last year when we had 17 students. But by God's grace and God's help, St. Patrick's Theological College is growing, and we now have 50 students. Therefore, we need more computers for those 50 students. And we ask St. James Croydon to continue to help us to provide more computers. Thank you so much.
Now, as has been the case in the past, Anglican Aid, which is one of our diocesan aid and relief organisations, they have set up a web page on their website basically to facilitate St. James Croydon and this particular partnership to help us meet this need. Let me say again, if you're able to contribute, and I hope you are, you're not a donor. You're a partner. You're a partner. And the reason we do this is because, like the Corinthians, we know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for our sakes he became poor, that we, through his poverty, might become rich. If you do want to participate in this particular act of partnership, there's a link in today's weekly news email. You can click on that. It'll take you straight to the Anglican Aid page, and I'll also send out the link again midweek, or you can just go to the Anglican Aid page and find it there. Mission in all the world is a great work of partnership among God's people. You are a partner, not a donor. And our partners rejoice and are blessed by our sharing with them in this way. And we want to let Christ's saving generosity to us overflow in our financial and prayerful generosity to others. Let me lead us in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you, in the words of Paul, for the privilege of sharing in this service to the Lord's people. So transform us by the gospel of your generosity to us, that we may partner richly with those who are connected to St. James. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.